You're listening to Sage Spirituality, reaching back, leaning in, and seeking out a deeper experience with God, with your host, Joel Marbin.
Welcome to another episode of Sage Spirituality. I'm your host, Joel Marbit, and we are so excited to have you with us today. Today, March 17th, is one of my favorite holidays, and I want to tell you why, but I also want to give a little bit of a twist on this holiday where we paint our rivers green and tend to walk around to look for people to pinch. And for me, it's a special day. It's my granddad, my paternal granddad, who I'm named after. That's his birthday. I always remember it, never will forget it. And it's just a special day all the way around. It's something we've always celebrated. We have green eggs and ham, and we have corned beef and cabbage, and we have all of the most amazing, wonderful traditions that you can imagine for this day. But today specifically, I want to speak to you about how the life of St. Patrick can be viewed in light of our current circumstances. But before I do that, I want to ask you to rate this program. Do me a favor, share it verbally, one-on-one, or take the opportunity just to share it on your Facebook page or send it to someone through Twitter. And, you know, guys, we're looking to continue to build our family, our group, week after week. You know, you guys are doing an amazing job. Every week there's more and more people downloading and coming to the table with us here at Sage Spirituality. So take an opportunity just to subscribe, to rate, and to do us a favor and share. So let's go back to St. Patrick. What does St. Patrick have to do with the coronavirus, or what can we learn from St. Patrick in his life in this time where we're living right now in the 21st century where all things are seeming to go crazy and everyone's scared and there's just an unbelievable level of anxiety and worry, not only in the United States, but around the world. I'm actually doing this podcast today from complete isolation here in the jungle. Our country where we live has been cut off. The airport's closed down. No one coming in, no one going out. And now the military and the government have called for a curfew, and people are just asked to stay at home, and that's not a bad thing. So let's do our part, but let's learn right now. Let's reach back, and let's lean in, and let's continue to grow together here at Sage Spirituality. Now, when I think about St. Patrick, I don't just think about green, and I don't just think about the food and the traditions, but I think about the man. We're really not sure when he was born, but most people think sometime around 389 AD. He was born on the English on the English island, and we're not sure really even of his birthplace, but we know he was born in that Roman Empire, the far western corner of the Roman Empire at that time. And we do know for certain that he became a missionary in 431 AD to Ireland. And most people would call him the apostle to Ireland because he's the person who initially came and preached the gospel. There had been other people that had been there, but he had unbelievable success in that country. The tradition says that he used the shamrock, the three-leaf clover, to explain the wonder and the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's also said that he is the one who developed the system of using high crosses, which are now called a Celtic cross, but it's just a small image of the giant stone works of art that are done there in Ireland. They spot the entire countryside. And I stand amazed because usually on one side there's Old Testament stories, and on the reverse side there's New Testament stories. And he used those stone works of art as preaching points where he would reach an illiterate culture and an illiterate listenership with the gospel of Jesus Christ well before anyone had ever developed something called chronological Bible storing or anything like that. And just an amazing innovator. You know, he used the sacred pools to baptize the new believers. The sacred pools were used by the pagans as points of worship, and he would use those pools to preach the gospel and also to baptize the new believers. And they just became incredible meeting places. He was very much so able to use the culture around him without tainting the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he even went so far in tradition and folklore to drive out all of the snakes from the Emerald Isle. Well, you know, most scientists would tell you there were probably never snakes in Ireland to begin with, but it's a good twist on the story. He was this incredible, unbelievable man of God, a man who knew God, a man who knew how to pray, a man who knew how to preach, and a man who was absolutely captivated by a divine calling. And that, for me, is an inspiration, not only as a missionary, but just as a believer. And, you know, but what happened between 389 AD and 431 AD that turned this man into an absolute apostle of the church? I think we have to look at a dark period in his life as the forming, if you want to call it the oven that God used to bake his destiny in. When we know, when we look at the life of St. Patrick, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt when he was a young man, he was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by traitors and he was sold into slavery in Ireland. That's pretty amazing. He was taken against his will and isolated for over 6 years from his family, from his friends, from everything that he knew and held dear. It was completely out of his control and really was not of his own will that he had to enter into this time of his life. That sounds kind of familiar. Maybe you're even listening from quarantine today, or you're listening from a place where you've been asked to lock down and just hunker down and stay, maybe against your will. But during that time of slavery, of servanthood, Patrick started not only knowing God, but he actually started conversing with God and hearing from God. His relationship with God went from formality to absolute intimacy. During those 6 years, he would probably look back and tell you that he would not trade anything in his life for those 6 years that were the most difficult and challenging years of his life. They were years where he yearned to be doing something besides what he was doing. They were years where he desired to not be in the situation that he was in. They were years where he really lost all right and authority in his life. And he too was placed in a situation of crisis, in a situation I would believe that was filled with great anxiety, serving pagans who had no fear of God. Now, during that time, he learned how to pray. I would imagine he learned to contemplate creation using what Paul said in the book of Romans was the first gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all creation. And on top of that, he got to know his creator. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, St. Patrick left isolation. He left slavery, knowing God and with a desire to make him known. During that time of isolation, a missionary call was birthed in his heart, and it was in the middle of suffering crisis that God formed him into the man that he needed him to be to reach the Celtic population. Now, during that time, the gospel became real to him. It wasn't just something that his father, who was a deacon, had told him as a child. It became something that was real and became very true to him because he had tried it in his own life. And, you know, when we look at St. Patrick's life, it wasn't a coronavirus, it was pirates. It wasn't a forced quarantine or isolation. It was slavery. But a crisis is a crisis. And what we can learn from St. Patrick here is realistically, God is up to something during this time where we live. Now, I want to look at one of my favorite little books here. It's called The Confessions of St. Patrick. If you don't have it, do yourself a favor and buy it. It is a wonderful book, has less than 100 pages, and it's what we have left as a testimony, if it were, of the life of St. Patrick. He left it at the monastery where he was buried. He had written it out over the last several years of his life. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from it. I'm going to read four separate quotes today from the Confessions of St. Patrick. They're quotes that maybe you've heard or you've seen posted on Facebook or turned into a meme or something like that during these days. You've heard them recited or read inside of your church. But today, I think maybe they have just a little bit more value to us due to the circumstances that we're facing. The first quote I want to pull out of this small book is a wonderful, wonderful quote. It's called Patrick's Shield. And it says, I rise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me afar and anear, alone or in a multitude. Now, something that Patrick learned during his crisis time was that he needed God to get through the crisis. And I just want to take a moment and challenge you as a believer to realize that in the middle of all of the craziness and the anxiety, just to stop and maybe even repeat this small phrase that Patrick coined 1,500 years ago that's still very applicable in our life right now. That God's strength, we need it to pilot us, to direct us, to guide us. That we need God's wisdom to guide us. That we need His might to uphold us. And that we need His shield to protect us during this time. I know in my own personal life, it's usually during a crisis that I turn to God in a more intimate fashion. Or at least that was the case in my early Christian walk. I would drift and wander away, but during a crisis time, I would usually find the time that I had never found before to pray and to seek God. I want to challenge you that during this period of crisis and uncertainty that you would seek after God and realize that you need Him to get through this crisis. Now, the second quote is just absolutely wonderful. It's a confession of his. He said, God watched over me before I knew Him and before I learned, sense, or even distinguish between good and evil. And He protected me and consoled me as a father would his son. See, Patrick wasn't always a firm believer when he was taken away into his crisis. It's there, as I've already told you, that he found an intimate relationship with God. And one thing that sticks out is Patrick left that crisis and he realized that God, in the middle of the crisis, was doing His thing. Even when Patrick couldn't see it, or even when he couldn't recognize it, God was doing His thing. Friend, we should not think that God has lost control or that maybe in some way, shape, or form that God is up in heaven wringing His hands. We have to realize that God is doing His work. That God has not taken His hands off the steering wheel of the universe, not for one second, but He's in control. That's a comforting fact that if we'll dwell on it and we'll meditate on it, just as Patrick learned, He will console us just as a father would his son. In the same way that when my children are fearful or scared, they know they can crawl up in my lap and that I'll protect them. They know that I'll do everything in my power to keep harm from them. And Patrick found that consolation. He found it maybe not in the most ideal situation. We would want to do it in an easy, relaxed situation. But God tends to use the crisis to teach us the lessons that we need to learn. Now, the third quote from St. Patrick's Confessions, and I'm going to tie together two quotes. And these quotes are absolutely, completely related. And they're wonderfully powerful. Patrick said, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. And then he went on to write, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Now, something that's very amazing about this is very repetitive, what Patrick's saying here. And if we can't get beyond the repetition, maybe we're going to miss his complete feeling that, friend, we must choose during this crisis to see God's hand working. If we choose, we're going to see Christ before us, within us, behind us, above us, to the right of us, to the left of us. Yes, there's a crisis. Yes, there's a sickness. Maybe there's going to be a shortness of food. Maybe there's going to be a shortness of medical supplies. But if we choose to open our eyes, then we will see the redeeming hand of the Lord at work. And Patrick saw that hand during a 6-year period of slavery. And we too can choose to see the hand of God working. We also can choose to see all of the negative. We can choose to see all the things that cause us to be anxious. We can choose to continue to double up or triple up on our media consumption. We can choose to spend 4 and 5 hours a day on our computers and watching the news and watching everything unfold. Or we can take time every day, every moment, every hour to see what Christ is doing in us, through us, and on our behalf. We can choose that. And when we choose, then we will start seeing God's work unfolding. I'm going to quote one other person here because it's so key. You know, Helen Keller, the amazing woman who was blind basically from birth, that learned to speak and to communicate and earned several degrees and doctorates and became a world-renowned inspiration to many, many people, started so many incredible movements through her testimony and through her life. And she said this, she said, there's only one thing that's worse than being blind. And she said, it's having sight but no vision. It's during this time of crisis when we as Christians should offer light to the world, that we should let our light stand on a table and set us apart from the panic and the anxiety of those around us. It's a time for us to give a testimony for the reason of our hope. And to be able to do that, friend, we must be able to open our eyes and see the handiwork of God going on all around us. Now, the final thought from the book, for me, is my favorite. It's a quote from the Bible, but Patrick takes the opportunity through years of contemplation to come to an amazing end. I want you to listen to this quote. Patrick says, be still and know that I am God. We've all heard that verse, right? But then he condenses it down. Each line he goes down a little bit deeper, and he gets down to the very, very bottom of this verse. To begin with, he says, be still and know that I am God. The second line says, be still and know that I am. Then he says, be still and know. And then he comes to the next to the last line and he says, be still. And finally he says, be. Just one word, be. Friends, we must rest in the reality that God is in control. We must rest during this time in the reality wash your hands, keep your distance from other people, but also rest in the reality that God has not lost control of the universe, and to realize that maybe, just maybe, during this time of challenge and quarantine, and I believe this could be very well the case, that God's doing a deeper work in His church and in the believers than ever before. That God is preparing young men and young women in the fire of crisis. He's preparing their hearts and their minds and getting them to a place so they can hear and they can listen, and they will come with a good and honest heart to listen and to apply what they are hearing from the Word of God. Now, I want to let you know, as part of our fellowship here, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God to surround you with His presence. I'm praying for that shield of St. Patrick to be around you, for you to have certainty day in and day out that God is in control, and that the same God who absolutely protected St. Patrick through over 6 years of slavery is the same God that's watching out for you inside of your own home. Or maybe you find yourself in quarantine away from your home or wherever it may be. That same God is still God, and He's still doing His thing. And I want to challenge you that during these times of question and anxiety, that you would choose to see the hand of God. Maybe even keep a running journal of the work that you see God doing in you, through you, and on your behalf. Thank you, friends of Sage Spirituality. I look forward to talking to you about what the church fathers have to say about fear. You're not going to want to miss it. God bless you. Continue to subscribe, to rate, and to share. And until we talk again, may God surround you with His peace. Thank you.